Good morning, church family. And visiting friends, you are honored guests. Before I get started with a prayer, thank you, Chris and Candace, for sharing. Thank you for the courage, and that just touched me. Let us start with prayer, please. Almighty Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we don't understand a lot of things in this weary life, but we ask your blessings upon us as we study this morning's lesson. Bless us to shine the light with love, with kindness, with gentleness in our homes, in the school, at work, and in this community. We're mindful of many of our brothers and sisters laboring in the missionary fields, and we pray your grace upon them. This is our prayer we ask. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Alan Redpath writes, quote, "As we consider the record, as we look at the record of Bible people, how often do we see ourselves looking in the mirror? The Bible never, never flatters its heroes. The Bible tells the truth of each and every one of them." End of quote. And I have to say amen. You know, in this culture, in this society, we are saturated with enticing lies. But we're going to look at the prayer of David. We're not going to talk about enticing lies. That's another sermon for another time. We're going to look at David's prayer in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 through 24. This morning we will see lessons. Number one, the humility of David and God's grace. Chris just talked about it. Why do bad things happen to good people? We don't know. But God is sovereign. What we think about something doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Number three, we, the church, are God's unique people. But first, let us briefly look at some historical background with David. We see that David led the movement of the Ark of Covenant. This, the time of his prayer, is a time of peace. After many long wars, David led the movement of the covenant, which is a special place of God's presence to Israel. David wanted to build a permanent structure because David felt the tent was no longer suitable compared to his elaborate palace living in elegant cedar. David wanted to build a temple for God. He talked with the prophet Nathan. Nathan said, "Hey, you know what? That's a good idea." But God challenged and vetoed that project. We all know the story. Solomon built the kingdom, the temple. David will not be allowed to build God's temple. Instead, he will build the temple for him. David will not build a house for God. God will build a house for David. What? Yes. God will establish a dynasty for David, a dynasty that will endure forever. It is not going to terminate or fall apart like Saul's dynasty. One writer, and I'm going to quote him, David G. Firth, an English biblical scholar, states that this particular prayer is the seedbed of the messianic hope. How did it happen? Well, we read in Amos 9 through 11, it would be repaired and rebuilt. In the words of other prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, a new branch or shoot will sprout up out of the root or the stump of the tree of David that appeared to be cut down. This, of course, the ancestor of David, who would one day be the son of David, in other words, the Messiah. We know who that is. That's our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of all lords, and he will rule for eternity. But let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. David learned that he was not allowed to build the temple, that he would have a dynasty. David prayed a beautiful prayer. And we just covered the three parts, but we're going to go in more into details. Bear with me, please. David was very humble. David did not question God. Why should we question God? God is God, and we are mere humans. David knew he was not worthy. David knew he had not earned anything. David knew he did not deserve favor. What about you and I? Do we deserve favor? Now, when I do this, oh, trust me, three of them coming right back to John to about the 10th or 100th power, those who understand and appreciate exponents. But the question is, seriously, are we humble? Are we full of self-piety? Are we full of self-righteousness? David was a mere man. David was God's servant. And God is sovereign Lord. There's too much arrogance, too much pride. It's all about me. Too much stubbornness in our society, in culture, and consequently in the church. We must repent. We must change our foolishness and get serious serving the Lord. We have to be faithful as David was. Let us go back to the lesson. The humility of David and the grace of God, the mirror image. Remember now, we as Christians, we're all sinners. Some people sinning right this minute, right this second. Is your heart right with God? And I have to be careful because I'm scared of that verse in James chapter 3 also. Not many of you become teachers. Bottom line up front. Paul writes in chapter 3, quoting David again, Psalms number 14 and Psalms number 53. None is righteous. We act like that since we've been living, I put myself on the spotlight since I'm standing in front of you. Well, Lord, I've been baptized since I was 11 years old. I repented, I backslid, I've served you faithfully, I tried to set the example. That's squat. That doesn't mean anything to God. What means most to God, and if you don't remember anything in this sermon, remember one thing. God did a great thing for us, sending his son to die for our sins. And we are his special redeemed people. If you don't remember anything else, I'm going to repeat it again before we give the invitation. Just remember that one thing, and the lesson is yours. Let us continue on. We are all saved by grace. No merit system. Well, you know, there's a song we used to sing, some through the water, some through the fire, but all through the blood of Jesus. Why do some people? I don't know. I've been part of burial details in the military. Why did the 24-year-old who had a 7-year-old daughter and a sister on the way never get to see the sister die? And you were handing that flag on behalf of the commander-in-chief for a grateful nation. I don't know why. One day we'll understand it. So we have got to get off our high horse thinking that we earn something. I'm talking to the church here. Right. You know, if we don't act like Christian or emulate Christianity, how are we going to save those that's out there in the world? We have got to get off our high horse like it's my rights. I deserve this. It's God's choice. God is sovereign. I'm not sovereign. I'm a mere human as David is. David praises God as the almighty, reverend God. What are you praising? It's 168 hours in a week. What are you spending 5, 10% of your time doing besides working and besides sleeping? Don't answer that now. I want you to think about that and fix it. Are you praising God? Now, I have to confess, church. I have to confess. I was complaining about this going live stream with Sister Jeannie. And she said, it's not for you. It's for those who are out there that are unable. Shame on me. See how easy Satan attacks us? God is not going to give us more than we can bear. We just have to trust him. David asked, who am I? God has done this. David know who has brought him from a nobody shepherd boy to eventually become the king of Israel. But first was a fugitive, like he was a criminal. He was on the run. God established his dynasty through David. David wanted to build God a house. God said, no, I'm going to build you a house. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses faced a so-called giant monster also. Moses said, I am a nobody. How can I go to King Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God says, I will be with you, and when you bring the Israelites out of Egypt, ye shall all worship me on this mountain. And that'll be your proof, Moses. See, we have to worship God. We have to give him 100%, not 99.8% like ivory liquid soap. God wants it all or nothing. Too many times, oftentimes I see, and I just scratch my head, and I say, boy, Lord, am I exemplifying humility? Because what happened? Once we start believing in the lie, start patting ourselves on the back, excuse me, what happened? Pride creeps in. Then we'll be cast away like Satan was cast out of heaven. Notice, please, verse 21. For the sake of your word and according to your will. Whose will? Is that John's will? Is that Ron's will? No, it's God's will be known. According to God's own heart. Now, I don't want to get too metamorphical, but, use a metaphor, I should say. But everything that God does, he passed to his son. His son going to come back one day and judge us. We see also that for the sake of your word, let us go ahead and continue on. In all your ways, we are told in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, acknowledge God. We're told not to lean on our own understanding. We're told to praise him. We're told to lift him up. In a 1984 Truth magazine, I should say Guardian of Truth, Brother Lewis Willis writes, the word promise appears in the Old Testament in 42 different forms and 72 times in the New Testament. The biblical usage, the promise contains an element of a covenant, contract, pledge, with blessings to the receiver, the giver being benevolent, almighty God. In a sense, a promise is a prophecy. The fulfillment is properly expected. God chose us first. We didn't choose him. God, in a few minutes, we're going to sing the invitation song. This is not a long sermon. I'm just trying to get to the punch, and that's it. But the bottom line here is that God made the decision based on what was in his heart. David G. Firth writes, quote, Yahweh's action for David do not respond to David's merit. Rather, Yahweh acted in accord with his own purpose, unquote. Before the foundation of the world, Christ already planned to come into the world to die for our sins. God just knew it. Don't ask me, hey, I'm just like you, I'm human. I'm trying to figure this out too, even at age 65. I'm still learning, I'm still in training. John 1:4-19. We love because he first loved us. That's the bottom line. That's why we love him. He loved us first, not the other way around. Go up to verse 10. In this love, not that we love God, but God sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We couldn't pay for our sins. We couldn't sacrifice some goat or ram or whatever animal, cow or whatever. We were enemies to God. The church makes up the people of God in the New Testament. We're that holy nation. We read in David declares the nation of Israel being unique. What nation is like that nation? That is the church that was built and purchased by Christ. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to a people for God's own possession. Of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In closing, I told you one thing to remember with this sermon. God sent his son to pay for our sins. As mentioned during Chris' comment, he had to suffer. Boy, that was a brutal death. Terrible. Be humble. Be amazed. Be holy. As we together sing, stand to sing the invitation song.